The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Good to see you all today. It's precious to witness the baptism today. And I'm so glad that you didn't do it last week for selfish reasons, because I wasn't here. And this always encourages me to see that. I ask you to turn with me, if you would please, today to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Had this passage of Scripture on my heart all week, and pray that it is of the Lord, and I'm going to start reading in the 14th verse. And it's a little bit of a lengthy reading, so I'm just going to go ahead and start reading, and please turn there if you have your Bible. Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 14th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. As we read through this morning, remember that we are the servants, and the master has given us some of his goods. And he gave unto one 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you love to hear the Lord say that to you? Amen. I believe when you come into the church service as being part of the kingdom of God, and you feel that sense of, at least today, I've done something the Lord wanted me to do. I believe the Lord looks down and says, well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Also he that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now he's still a servant, but the Lord's not happy with him. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Kind of starts off positive and ends a little bit on a negative note. But much of the scripture is for exhortation to us, and tell us how the Lord expects us to act in his kingdom. He starts off here in verse 14 saying, for the kingdom of heaven is as. In other words, the Lord is giving us a description of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, Brother Neil, what is the kingdom of heaven? Well, you'll find in the scripture and the gospels that Matthew usually uses the term kingdom of heaven to describe the kingdom of God. Some of the other writers say kingdom of God. The term is generally exchangeable in most places. And it is wherever, as we've said before, that the Lord is reigning. So the Lord reigns in heaven, no doubt. But this passage of Scripture, I don't believe, is talking about what's going to happen to you when you show up in heaven primarily, because here we're reading about people who labor. And Solomon reminded us that there is no labor in the grave. If we labor for the Lord, we'll labor in this life. And I believe that when we labor for the Lord and we use the gifts that he gave us according to the way that he's instructed us, the Lord blesses that. Now, if we don't do that, The Lord comes sometimes in judgment to us. And this person that got the 1 talent didn't use their talent. They went and hid it in the ground. The Lord said, cast the man out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now again, this is talking about a time sense, a time world. This isn't talking about the Lord taking one of his servants and throwing them in eternal hell. You know, back in the day when this was written, you know, when they would have feasts, remember, they didn't have electric lights. They didn't have all these things that we have today. And so, you know, their tables were lit with either oil lamps or sometimes candles. And so you might have a great feast in a small house, and people wanted to be inside. They wanted to be in the house where there was light. You know, if you got there late, or if you weren't in favor with the master of the feast, you might not get to sit around the table where it was lighted and joyful and pleasant. you might have to kind of sit out toward the outside where there wasn't much light and where people couldn't see what they were doing and it wasn't very pleasant. What the Lord is saying is, I have given gifts to my servants, and I expect them to take those gifts and use those. And if they will, they will experience my joy. We read in verse 21 there, he says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. In verse 23, enter into the joy. There is a joy in serving the Lord. And you might say, well, Brother Neil, what is this about the talents and this kind of thing? You know, we read in verse 15 that unto one he gave five talents. So the first thing I would ask you to understand today about a talent that the Lord gives is it is a gift. It's something that he gives and it is his. And he gives it unto his servants to use. Now here it's pictured as money. If you try to go look up and do a little research and find out what a talent actually was, you're going to find that it was a lot of money. You know, the researchers disagree sometimes on how much, whether you're talking about a talent of gold or a talent of silver. But a talent was generally thought to indicate about the weight of an actual person. So I'm going to say an average of 150 pounds, 75 kilograms or so. Now, in gold, that's somewhere, depending on the market price of gold, between $1.5 and $3 million. And the Lord here had given one guy five of those. So this guy's given something that is of immense, just, you know, almost inconceivable value that he's to take and use. And he does a good job with it. He takes it and he uses it. So think of a talent, first of all, as being something that the Lord gives. It is a gift of God. It belonged to him, but he entrusted it to his servant to use. And when the servant uses it like they ought to, there's great joy in that. And not only that, the Lord increases it many times. He may not always do it exactly the same way, but the one that used the five, he got five more. And the Lord said, if you'll use that, I'll make you ruler over many things. So, Brother Neil, I don't want to be a ruler. Well, I do. I don't want to rule over you in an authoritarian way by any means, but I'd like to rule this flesh I'm walking around in. I'd like to rule this kingdom that stands before you today and walking around in sinful flesh. I want to rule it. I want to conquer it for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the way I do that is to take the talents he's given me and use them. Amen. Now, we'll talk about a little bit, the Lord give us liberty here about what some of those look like. But I'll tell you, every one of you that is sitting here today, I can say categorically as a great generalization, if you're over the age of 7 or 8 and you know how to read, you've got a talent that God's given you. And most of you are holding it today. It's called the King James Bible. It was the inspired word of God that was given to men of old, breathed by the Holy Spirit into their heart. They roll it down. God providentially preserved it. And over 400 years ago, a man named King James authorized a translation of those texts that have been received from the old times into the English language, and most of you are holding a copy of it today. If you have no other talent that you can think of on the planet, you've got one right here. Amen. And if you don't have one today, if you'll give me your address after church, I'll get one shipped to you this week free of charge. Amen. And if you can't read, I'll get the podcast or the CD copy and get it shipped to you, and you can listen to it. This is a talent. You want to be a ruler? Do you want to rule your flesh? And in extension, rule your home well, protect your home, keep your home pure. Take this talent that the Lord gave you. Don't hide it in the ground. Don't cover it up on a shelf with dust. Take it out, read it, memorize it, study it, make it part of your life. You know what the Lord will do? It'll give you joy. That's one area. There's lots of others. And let's talk about some of them this morning. Again, a talent is a gift that God gives you that's His. But he gives it to you for a while to use, and if you use it right, he'll give you more. If you'll take the Bible and read it, what little bit you know, I guarantee you, if you pray and you're diligent, the Lord will increase your knowledge, and you will rule your life better than you ever did.
That's right.
That's just one area. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, we read that he led captivity captive. That's about the 8th verse, and skipping on down to the 11th or so. And he said that he gave gifts to men. He gave some that were evangelists and some that were teachers and some that were prophets and some that were pastors. You see, one of the gifts that the Lord gives the church is in the preaching. So young men, if the Lord gives you that gift, use that gift well. Treasure it. Study it. It's by the grace of God. It's his gift. But Paul said over in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the 4th chapter there, and around the 8th verse or so, I believe. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. So if the Lord gives a preaching gift in the church to be able to study the Word and explain it, utilize that. The excellency of the power is of God, not of us. But that's not the only gift the Lord has given. The Lord's given other gifts. And the Lord, when he shows up in his vineyard, he expects, as we read here, the man with one talent told the Lord, he said, Lord, I know you're a hard man. And that doesn't mean the Lord is unjust. It just means the Lord expects certain things from his servants. He said, I know you come where you didn't sow and you gather. I know where you come where you didn't plant and you gather. But that's okay in the kingdom of God, because you should understand that the seed that the preacher sows out, when Brother Tim comes in a few moments and preaches, or when I try to preach to you or anybody else, I may sow some seed. Brother Tim may come along and water it. One of the other brothers may come along and help to reap it or to fertilize it or to help it grow. But the Lord's the one that comes and tastes it. And that's okay, because the seed that we spread out, guess what? It's not our seed. It's the Lord's seed. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, well, I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. If we give out some spiritual seed today, or Brother Tim does, Brother Tim knows that's not his seed. That's God's seed. If the Spirit comes down and waters it, that's not our water. That's the Lord's water. And when the Lord comes, he should be able to taste of the seed that you and I plant, or that you and I water, or that you and I fertilize. When he comes through your home and he sees a home that is spiritually clean and there's not a lot of the world there, and you've gotten rid of all those old trashy movies and those trashy books, and you've cleaned it up and you've made it pure and presentable to the Lord, and the Lord comes through, and oh, he comes through, I assure you.
Amen.
When he comes through, he ought to be able to taste something of his, the fruit of his Spirit in there. Would you agree with me there?
Right.
And when he comes in the church, y'all be able to taste the same thing. Because the Lord gives us some gifts, and we go out and we plant, and his Spirit waters. But remember, the gifts are his,
right,
and the joy is his. And he ought, by right, as the Lord who gave, be able to come along and taste something good in our lives. So let's talk for a few minutes about what some of those gifts are. Now, other brothers have preached about those, and I'm not going to re-preach their sermons or try to take anything away or add anything to it, really. But just to remind us, one real good passage of Scripture, I think, for that is Romans, the 12th chapter. And I'd ask you to turn with me there. And let's look at some of these gifts and what they look like. Because when we read over there in Matthew 25, as you're turning, I'm just going to remind you of a few of the characteristics of these gifts or talents. Is that they were the Lord's and he gave them. And he gave them according to their several abilities. In other words, the Lord gives gifts to people because the Lord knows people and he knows what their abilities are. But if the Lord seems to be giving you a gift and you think you don't have an ability, I assure you the Lord can give you the ability. You know, I just think of my life, and I'm not an example of good things per se, but just if you see anything good or hear anything good in anything the Lord's given me, you know, if someone had told me 10 years ago that I would be standing before the Lord's church and trying to preach the word, I don't know what I would have said, but I know what I would have thought. You're crazy. I'm not good at public speaking. You know, there were times in my life in past days when people would invite me to come, you know, give a public speech somewhere. You know what I noticed? The primary characteristic I noticed about those events is I almost never got asked back. That's what I remember. Is I would get asked to come to a church and give a devotional. They never asked me back. They'd ask me to come to some meeting and, you know, and give a little speech. They never asked me back. Come give a speech on diabetes. I go do it. They never asked me back. Come preach for our Father's Day. They'd say, come speak for our Father's Day meeting. Never asked me back. You know, that's how my career in public speaking went. I had no ability there. But see, if God gives the gift, he will give the ability and help you to advance that and to learn, okay? So he'll give you the sufficiency, but he gives them according to several abilities. And the other characteristic, again, is they belong to God and he expects some return when he gives those. I want you to think about that, please, very carefully with me this morning. The Lord has given his servants gifts. He gave everybody in this passage something, didn't he? And you say, well, Brother Neil, are you a 5-talent, a 2-talent, or a 1-talent? I'm probably a 0.1-talent. But I've determined by the grace of God, I'm not going to put that 0.1 talent in the ground.
Amen.
Not going to cover it up with dirt.
Amen.
You know, if the Lord will give me the ability and give me the strength, I'm going to just try to use it. And that's what we all need to do. Now, let's talk about what your gift might be, because your gift may not be the same gift I have. And my gift is not the same gift that you have, probably. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, we read this. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You know, a preacher may have the gift to preach. Preacher A, preacher B, preacher C. But they probably all do it a little bit differently, right? Because the Lord gives them different gifts. That's one reason the old Baptists don't believe in seminaries. Because we don't think preachers ought to come out stamped with one certain style of anything, which should be according to the Lord's gifts. We believe in proper doctrine, okay, but we don't want everybody to preach like preacher A over here. This is not the way the Lord set it up. We need different gifts. And it's according to the grace given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministry. He that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. I know we're reading fast, we'll go back over a few of these. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, that's a lot of things. Let's look back at a couple of these and think to yourself, where do I fit in there? What is my gift? Because whatever my gift is, if I use it and I advance it by God's grace for the kingdom of God, and I increase it, the Lord says, enter into my joy. And I'll make you a better ruler. In other words, I'll take what I gave you and I'll increase it. I'll make it better and more rich and more full. If you don't, it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell for eternity, folks. Don't think that if anybody's ever told you that. It just means you're not going to be able to get right up there with the rest of the children of God at the table and taste what you ought to be able to. And I would regret that. I would regret that. When those people that had the talents went out and traded and increased those talents, it implies something about the nature of gifts, and that is that they are to be used in a public way. Now, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily flaunted, and it doesn't mean that we all sit around and talk about our gifts. But if you use your gift, the Bible is very clear, you'll not stand before mean men. You'll stand before kings, and you'll stand before the king, because your gift will make room for you. You don't have to brag about it or talk about it necessarily. Just get busy and do it. And the Lord will bless it. When that man went out and took those five talents and made five more, he didn't do that by hiding in a closet somewhere. Right? He went out in the marketplace. He went out among people. And he used what the Lord had given him. And I believe the Lord expects us to do that. So, some people are given the gift of prophecy. Now, I've said this before, but I will say it again to you today. Some of you older people, you could probably prophesy over my life. And I'm not talking about some weird, wacky thing. It's just, if you see Brother Neil straying down a certain path, you know what the end of that path looks like. You can set Brother Neil straight. Brother Neil, if you keep, for instance, if you saw me doing some sinful thing, besetting sin, maybe if you see me out, you know, I don't know, drinking all the time or something like that, you can say, Brother Neil, you better stop doing that, because I can prophesy to you what the end of that will be, because it happened to my XYZ, my friend, my uncle, whatever. Stop. Live right. And you'll have a better end. Amen. See, prophecy's not magical. If you've lived a few years, you know that people tend to move along certain paths in life. If a person's coming to church every Sunday, reading their Bible, serving the Lord, living for the Lord, okay? There's an expected end in that. If a person's laying out all the time and hanging out with the wrong people, let me tell you, there's an expected end in that, young people. And it's not a good end. And I can prophesy to you this morning that if you take that route, you will regret it someday. Bank on it. I'll sign it. Write it down and I'll put my name on it for you. Okay, that's prophecy. And I can prophesy to you this morning that if you live according to thus saith the word of the Lord, you'll have a much better life than if you didn't. You will have tribulation in this life, but it will not be added to by your own messes so much. Okay, that's prophecy. Or ministry. We have a wonderful minister sitting on the front pew this morning, Brother Tim, and he uses his gift. He that teacheth on teaching. Some ladies might say, well, the Bible says men are to be preachers. What's my role? Titus chapter 2, I believe it is, says that the older ladies are to teach the younger ladies. So if you're an older lady, then, and you're a child of God, you're supposed to be teaching the younger ladies. That's just in the Bible. So, you know, I can't tell you exactly what that looked like. Maybe talk to one of the older ladies that does that. You get some ideas, but that's one of your jobs. Mothers, you'd be teaching your daughters. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, do it with simplicity. If the Lord's given you the ability to give, meaning, by the way, that he gave you something to give, do it with simplicity. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to go find a church that's got a $10 million budget and you budget down, you're going to give this many thousands a year. You know what you do? You see somebody in need, you just give them what they need. You can give to the church with simplicity. Nobody but the deacons knows what amount is on that check you drop in there. The deacons and the Lord with simplicity. And the Lord will bless you. He that ruleth with diligence. And remember, if we rule well, the Lord said, I will make you ruler over many things. I would love to be able to rule this body I'm walking around in, to be able to rule my home, not as a tyrant, okay, but as a servant. And I believe the Lord will give you the ability if you pursue that. And there's a lot here. We can't go over everything. But be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. You know, some people have more of a gift than others. We were talking about this at the breakfast table this morning, and there was a little dispute going on because, again, I know I used some examples. I hope this isn't vain, but maybe some of you could relate to this. Andrew shot his first deer a couple days ago, and unfortunately, he shot it on the back side of the property where we hunt. It's 3/4 of a mile to the other end. We didn't have a four-wheeler. His first deer. So he is thrilled and excited. Oh, he's just in raptures, you know, because he's so excited. He finally killed one after several years. We don't have a whole lot of deer where we hunt, so he was just so thrilled he got this doe. And, you know, so, you know, McNeil and Nate were hunting in another area. So I carried the deer, maybe a few hundred yards and sat it down by the road, and they come out of their stand, and Nate sees him, and, oh, Andrew says, I got one, Nate. And Nate runs to him and throws his arms around him, and they're just dancing around on the road in the dark, hugging one another. McNeil walks by and pats him on the back and picks up the other end of the stick and helps me carry the thing 3/4 of a mile to the car. So one of the kids were sitting there at breakfast and they said, McNeil, you should have been a little more excited about that deer. He said, I was excited. I hugged him a couple times. But don't I get credit for carrying the deer for 3/4 of a mile? I said, let me tell you how it works, guys. We got different gifts. Now, we ought to all, as children of God, have a certain level by the fruit of the Spirit of joy, love, peace, kindness, gentleness, all those things, Galatians 5:22. But some people got a little more love, and some people got a little more muscle. Now, Nate gave Andrew a lot of love in that moment of triumph. But if it hadn't been for Matt Neal's muscle, let me tell you, dear old dad wouldn't have gotten that out of there 3/4 of a mile by himself. It'd be sitting out there on the road. The coyote's probably already eaten it. See, it takes both. Did you notice this morning that when we had the baptism, the pulpit was sitting over here? When all of us out there sitting, we could see Brother Tim lay his precious daughter down in those waters and bring her up, right? Why could we do that? Because we have some very strong brothers in this church that's no problem. They just walk up here and pick it up and move it over. They walk up here and pick it up and move it back. So after the baptism, I saw these big burly guys. They come up here and they move it back over. And I'm glad they did, or I'd be standing up here holding my Bible the whole time. Did you notice, though, the sweet little one that in the middle of those brothers moving the pulpit, who came up and turned the flower arrangement around where you all could see these beautiful flowers? See, here's all the big brothers using their gift, right? And that's a gift now. That's one I wish I had a little more of. They're moving their muscles and they've moved this pulpit. Here comes the sweet little one up and she turns the flower arrangement around. See, that's kind of how gifts work. Any one of those brothers could have reached over and went, beep, turned it around. But see, sometimes we strong men don't think of the things that a mother or a daughter would think of, right? Do we not need both? We need both. We need somebody that's got brotherly love, that's the cheerleader. Yay, go, man. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And then we need the brother that doesn't say much, but he just slings it over his shoulder and walks 3/4 of a mile with it. Don't we need both? We need both. And you're one of those. You need to ask the Lord, where am I? Am I rejoicing? Verse 12, patient. Am I the, verse 12, the prayer beggar, as Brother Tim said, the prayer warrior. What do you want to call him? Am I the one that no one knows that I was praying for him? You know, I've woken up, I've told you this before, at 2 in the morning before with my mind just burdened and in tears. And I felt in that moment, somebody somewhere is praying for me. I have no idea who it was. I'll never know this side of glory, and I may not find out there. But I knew in my heart someone was interceding for me. Maybe it was the Savior. He always is, right?
Amen.
Might have been one of you. I'll never know. I've woken up before with some of you on my mind. You'll never know, because a lot of times by the next morning, I forgot it too. But in that moment, was that not exercising a gift? Yes, distributing to the necessity of the saints. There are some people among us sometimes that need stuff, and I have seen some of you distribute. No one ever knew except the Lord and one of the deacons, maybe Brother Tim. Nobody else ever knew. Thank God for you. Given to hospitality, I've experienced the benefit of that many times from many of you. I'll tell this one on Sister Tracy. When we first started coming to this church, they asked us over to their house. And Sister Tracy had just had one of the children. I guess it was probably Lila, maybe. And I remember us, the meal was so delicious, you know. And she had these green beans. I just never eaten any green beans like that. You know, I got like four or five servings. I was embarrassed, you know. I think I got the last ones in the pot. I was like, wow, this is amazing. How do you do this? And she said, oh, well, we grow these beans here on the farm. You know, every year since then, I have grown green beans. No interest in it whatsoever prior to that time. See, I learned something from her hospitality. But you know what I really learned is when we got back home, Amy said, wasn't that kind of them to do that? And I said, yeah, it was. And she said, and she just had a baby. Now, someone remembers something like that 10 years later? Is that a demonstration of a gift? Yes, it is. Okay, we all have something. And you know what I've noticed? I love you all, and I've been blessed to preach here many times, but if anybody here could come up and tell me what I preached a year ago today, I'll give you $5. Because I bet you don't. Because you know what? I don't either. I remember those green beans 10 years ago, though. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, we ought to all do it, but it's easier for some than others. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. If this is your gift, please use that. I'm asking the Lord to help me. I don't have that much of that gift. I'll confess to you today that I don't. I found this out some years ago when I would come home from work. Most of you know I work in the medical field, and I used to work in the hospital, and it was just really long hours, and we would get people transferred into us. I'd be up all night taking care of people that got sent in from all over the state. And I'd work like a 36-hour shift, and I'd come home and sit down at the table and, oh. And Amy said, you know, Anna Rose fell off the swing today and scraped her knee. I'm like, well, she's not dead. It didn't go over very well. You see, I found I didn't have very much gift for weeping with those that weep. Because I felt like, I'd seen a whole lot worse things than that. Rejoicing with those that rejoice, well, that's worth getting excited about. I've seen bigger stuff than that before. You know, some people have a real gift, though. They weep with those that weep. And they can rejoice with those that rejoice. I believe that is one of the sweetest gifts that the Lord gives. When we bring our prayer request before the Lord, and one of our brothers comes up and humbly prays in sincerity, and knowing that a lot of times we can't fix the situation, and you sit back there and you think about that one that's lost a loved one, and you know there's nothing you can do, but you can weep with them. When that new one comes along and you know you can't solve all that mother's sleepless nights and her deprivations and her pain, but you can rejoice. And we can love. And we can hope. And we can have kindness and gentleness. And when the time comes that there's a need, those of you that are strong in that area, just give with simplicity. In a spiritual sense, when there's a burden to bear, those of you that are strong, just put it on your shoulders and help bear it. When trouble comes, There's some of y'all that are tough to stand up against it. But when the need is for compassion, listen, if that's your gift, let it shine. Every servant got a gift. And every servant that used that gift had that gift added to. Because I have a little secret about how things work in life. Sometimes you get better with practice. Sometimes the first tear is hard to cry. But oh, then they just flow like water. God bless us all to use our gifts. And thank you for every one of you that's blessing me and my family so much with yours. I love you. And pray for Brother Tim as he comes next. Brother Tim.